Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight on Stop Child Abuse Now. I'm so excited about tonight's show. We have a wonderful guest tonight with us. Tonight I'm hosting with my co-host, Ms. Kim LaKin, and I cannot wait to get a chance to speak to our wonderful guest tonight, Mr. Harold. But before we do that, speak to Mr. Harold, we're going to read our mission statement for NASCA, okay? We have a single purpose at NASCA to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. One of them being educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. Number two being that, you know, we focus on offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. This scan number for this show is 2983. Again, the scan number is 2983. If anybody would like to call in and share their thoughts or listen and join us tonight, please call into the number 646-595-2118. Again, the number is 595-2118. I want to read a little bit of the bio for tonight for our special guest, Mr. Harold D. Swassa, and I'll have him state his name again just in case I said it wrong, but I will read his bio for tonight. So tonight's special guest is Mr. Harold from Cincinnati, Ohio. He's the co-founder of Eyes Open International. That's a nonprofit group focused on combating human trafficking through empowerment. He explains, we consult various levels of government and develop methods of cultivating resilience, hope, and freedom in vulnerable populations, as well as organize and participate in talks, seminars, groups, discussions, and special events that promote human trafficking awareness and survivor-led methods. Harold's a survivor advocate. I'm just so honored to have this special guest today, and I cannot wait for him to tell us more about his story. Mr. Harold, are you on?
Yes, Dr. Nancy.
Yes, sir. What's your full name? I just want to make sure I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah, my full name is Harold D'Souza.
D'Souza.
Right.
Okay. So first, before we get started, I want to introduce our co-host, Ms. Kim. I would like for you to introduce yourself and say hello to Mr. Harold that we have tonight.
Hello. Nice to meet you, Mr. Harold.
Yes, Kim, nice talking to you and to Dr. Nancy.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad you're here this evening. Yeah, my name is Kim Lakin, and I have been on NASCA for a little bit, and I'm one of the co-hosts. So I'm going to sit back and let you tell your story, and then eventually maybe we'll interrupt you with some questions, and maybe we'll have some other people call in too. So.
Yeah, thank you, Kim.
Okay. Yeah, so how did you get started? Like, you know, tell us a little bit about your organization or your background. How did you even get into this area? This is a very special area to get into. What caused you to walk into this area, into this ministry, really?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dr. Nancy. I never anticipated that I would get into this area. I think it was God's call. Mm-hmm. I was like born and raised in India, you know.
Mm.
And I'm from a middle class or from a poor family, not from an affluent family. So my father was a farmer, and back in India, the village where my dad grew in Mangalore, the small town's name is Bajpe. So there was no running water or electricity, you know, for my dad when he was growing up. So agriculture was the primary thing for survival. Education was the last on the list. But my father flipped the script for us, for me as a child. He made education the first in the list. And that's it. And I was doing well in India. It was a dream come true to come to the U.S. And the rest is all history. Like, I never dreamt that I would be a victim of labor trafficking and debt bondage in the United States of America, Dr. Nancy.
Wow. So your father, was he really inspirational in your life at the beginning of your earliest years?
It's a very good, like I'll be until today. My father has been my inspiration, my aspiration, my mentor. And I lost my dad in the year August 8th, you know, it's just almost more than 20 years, in 2000. I still believe that today, whatever I am and wherever I am in the United States of America or all over the world, it is my humble, loving, and caring father. Like his name is Henry D'Souza. And he played a very big role in my life as a childhood, Dr. Nancy, because as a child, I was a failure. I used to fail in all the subjects. And
me too, Lord. Mm-hmm.
So I was like a God case. And everyone gave up on me like, this guy is good for nothing. But it was only my dad who always inspired me and saw some light in me. I don't know what.
Yes.
He used to always tell me as a child
lot.
That... I think...
That's awesome. That's great that you had that. You know, at least you have some wonderful memories of your father and how he was able to shed that light in you. Because if you didn't have him, where do you think you would be?
I totally agree with you. I think like my foundation is on four principles, like which I learned from my father, you know, that number one is value. Number two is character. Number three is education. And number four is faith. I'm a strong believer of faith. You know, I was born and raised as a Roman Catholic. But I respect, I love, and admire all religions, all nationalities, you know. I do not believe in any, in the differentiation in any caste, color, creed, or nationality. I think we have to respect all human beings first.
Yeah. I agree with that. So tell us a little bit about how, because it sounds like you had a great upbringing under the leadership of your father, Henry D'Souza, okay, which is a wonderful thing to have, a wonderful way to come up under a great mentor and leader. And even though nobody else believed in you, he saw something in you that nobody else saw. That is very powerful that you even shared that. Let me ask you, how did you get involved just even in this area of trafficking, human trafficking. How did you get, how does that connect from being in India and then coming to the United States for the American dream and being mentored by such a wonderful, strong leader? How do you connect human trafficking? What's your connection to that?
I think you very rightly said, Dr. Nancy, American dream. Yet today, it's a big thing all over the world, you know, American dream. And back in India, I would say when I was growing up as a child, and even today, it's every man or every girl's dream in India and many other countries to go to the United States of America.
Yes.
In India, there is a proverb or there's a saying that going to America is going to Swarg. Swarg is a vernacular language in Hindi. Swarg means heaven, paradise.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's like going to America, it's like going to heaven.
Swarg. Swarg?
Swarg, Swarg.
Swarg, Swarg. Okay.
Yeah, Swarg, S-W-A-R-A-G, Swarg.
Okay, I got it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so if you Google also the word Swarg on Google in Hindi, means going to heaven. It's like heaven.
Yeah.
Or going to paradise.
Right, paradise.
And you
will
not believe, Dr. Nancy, that even today, people in India have a big dream to live the American dream. And to go to Swarg means to go to heaven.
Wow. So what's your thought? You know, so I'm originally from Costa Rica. So I'm an immigrant as well. Yes, sir. I'm an immigrant as well. So I understand, you know, my family, you know, they were poor and they worked really, really hard. And they came to the United States for the American dream, just like how you came to the United States. So do you feel like the heaven or the paradise once you got here? What's your thought about it once you got here?
Anyway, to cut the long story short, like when I always tell, you know, I always tell, you know, I came on four things to the United States of America in the year 2003. I came on a trust. I came on a faith. I came on a promise. And I came to live my American dream, you know.
So you came on trust, faith, promise, and what else?
And to live my American dream.
And to live your American dream. Wow.
But you know,
so do you feel
you know,
like you lived it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know what happened, Dr. Nancy? The day I landed, or within few days, my trust turned into a trauma. My faith, which I came, you know, got flipped into fear. And the promise which was told to me was turned into slavery. And my American dream, which I came, you know, to be as in heaven, turned into hell.
Oh, my God, help me.
And this is a reality. You know, it is not like in words, it's not in deeds also, it is much deep. It's just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. So I know you're from Costa Rica, and what I went through, what more than me, it was my wife and my two sons who got traumatized, exploited, abused mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. And that is something until today, I cannot tolerate.
Oh,
or
my
God.
How did that start? I mean, you said you came to the United States. You know, you had all these, you had trust, you had faith, you had promise, and you wanted to live the American dream. Those were the four things you came into, and then your trust turned into trauma, your faith turned, flipped to fear, your promise went into slavery, and then your heaven turned to hell. How did that happen? Can you take us through the beginning part of it? How this happened?
Yeah, so
just slow down a little bit and take your time because it's still early. Just start to take us on how did this start to happen when you first came or on the way here? When did it start to turn crazy, like to not go the way that you anticipated to go?
Yeah, so Dr. Nancy, I was in India. I had a good job. I'm well educated. Like, I did my master's in marketing management. I did my post-graduation diploma in human resource development. I started my career from zero, like from the rock bottom. But I got promoted, excelled very well. I was doing pretty good. But just to educate our audience, our listeners today, is that I'm from India. You said you're from Costa Rica.
And
you should be able to understand the cultural differences, you know, like I got married, a small example, I got married on May 29th, 1994. And mine was an arranged marriage.
Was it or no?
It was. It was an arranged marriage. It was not a forced marriage. It was an arranged marriage. When I say arranged marriage, means my dad saw this family and he told me, okay, I think Harold, you should get married to this girl, you know, whose name is there, Dancy. So, that time there was no phone. There was
So your father arranged the marriage between you and Miss Dancy, Mrs. Dancy.
Yeah, Dancy with a D. You're with an N. My wife is with a D. D-A-N-C-Y,
okay.
Dancy.
So your father set up the arrangement.
Yeah, he just recommended me, and he told he saw the family because they were in Bombay. And he said, you know, it's a good family and you should get married. And that time you could not exchange photographs. I don't know. I went to their house in Bombay, and that is when I saw my wife now for the first time, physically.
Okay.
But there was no dating. You could not date, you know, you could not
no
go out.
Dating.
Yeah. So, and then we got married. What I'm trying to share is that I got married again on four things. I got married on a trust, on a faith, on a promise, and a commitment.
Yes.
So the traffickers in the United States of America or the perpetrators all over the world, they know the psychology of the victim. And why I'm trying to share this is that you have to be trauma-informed, that traffickers knows the background of the victim and they know how to manipulate, trick, and trap the victim.
Mm.
And that is how I fell for it. So I was invited in the year 2003 on an H-1B visa as a business development manager on a $75,000 salary per year plus benefits. That was big money.
Right. $73,000 or $75,000?
$75,000 salary.
Plus benefits.
Yes.
I would have came too.
See,
I would have tried to pay. And who offered you this? So you were in India with your wife. Did you have children at the time?
Yes, I had two boys. My younger son, Rohan, was 4 years old, and my older son, Bradley, was 7 years old when I came to the U.S.
Okay. So you came by yourself and your wife, Mrs. Dancy, she stayed back home with the kids?
No, we all came together.
Oh, okay. So you and your whole family came for this job opportunity. Is that what brought you to the U.S. at the beginning, was the job opportunity?
Yes, it was the job opportunity, number one. Number two, I thought that my kids' life will be fast-forwarded. Like, everyone used to talk very high about the education system in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told when I was coming by all my family, friends, community members, that only God's chosen people get to go to the U.S. And I was one of them.
Wow. Well, yeah, because, you know, it is very difficult for people to get their citizenship or their visas. It is very hard for people in our country to get this opportunity. So I understand, because I believe the same thing. Ms. Kim, do you have any questions or any comments or anything you want to add before we continue to move on?
No, I did want to say I'm sorry that you lost your dad. I know how hard that is. I mean, it doesn't really matter what age we are. Our parents are still our parents, and I've lost my mom, and so I kind of know the same thing. you know, and it's hard. I'm not in a position like you and Dr. Nancy where I can say I've come from another country. I mean, I've just traveled to other states. I don't think I've even been out of the country. So, you know, you guys are just amazing to me that you took that chance and came over on faith. And I love that you have a faith. And so now your boys are like 24 and 27. They're grown now.
Wow, you got it right.
He's good with math.
Dr. Nancy.
What's the ages, Miss Kim? What's the ages?
24 and 27.
Wow.
Perfect.
Well, I have so yeah, I think it's been about 20 years since you've been here. So
yeah.
Now I know that you still have a lot of your story to tell, but are your boys well adjusted here? And I mean, how is your family adjusted?
I think my family is doing very good, and that's why I'm very happy. I always tell that behind always a happy man, you know, it's a very understanding, loving, and compassionate lady. I know, and that's my wife, Dancy, and my two sons, Bradley and Rohan. So I always tell Dr. Nancy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I always share, you know, three things. People ask me, like, Harold, tell me something about yourself. So I always tell, you know, I'm a common man, I'm a failure, and I'm a sinner.
Amen. Come on, tell the truth. That's what it's
about.
I'm telling the
bitter truth. You know, I don't want to deny anything. And the reason why I say that I'm a common man, you know it, I'm a common man. I grew up in a small village. There was no running water or electricity, right? So it was a very difficult scenario for me.
Yes.
And my parents, but I really respect my mom and dad, especially my father, who turned my life, you know, by providing education. But coming down to failure, I told you, like, I was very bad. I failed in all the subjects when I was in the school till the 10th grade. And then again, coming back to the U.S., I failed. But I always tell one thing to all my friends who are listening on this show, that failure is the path to success. And only four things to take away from my journey, from slavery to success, I always tell, you know, is that number one, be happy. Number two, think positive. Number three, never quit. Number four, believe in yourself.
Wow. That was good because I do want to understand when you talk about slavery, because I want to understand a little bit. Okay, so you said, wait, I want to write this down right. So number one, be happy. Number two, think positive. And then number three, never quit. And then number four, believe what? What was it? What
believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself. Okay. I want to make sure I write those notes down correctly, because I come across a lot of people who are in their stages of picking up their lives and getting back up. And they always need to hear all of this. What you're sharing right now is really important. I wanted to bring it back to how does all of this strength and all of this power and all this humility, because you do share your earlier stages of your life, and you know, I've shared that as well. Like my life in Costa Rica, it was very humble. I went through homelessness with my mother, and then, you know, a lot of other things came from that. So I understand the struggle, okay? I have a very big respect for the struggle, and I really do understand it personally. But I want to know, what is your connection? So now you come to the United States, so walk us through what's the next step that connects you to this slavery of human trafficking. So you come to the United States with your family and your children, and you have this big dream that's sold to you with, I mean, you're about to make $75,000 with salary plus benefits. You know, what happened after this?
See, my trafficker or my perpetrator had planned this. He has been doing this in the past, which I had no clue. So the moment I landed, Dr. Nancy, the first thing he asked me, Harold, are you carrying any cash? And
wow.
I was carrying $1,000 cash. And he tells me, Harold, this is America. This is US. You can't keep cash on you. It is not safe. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just trusted him. So he said, give it to me. So I gave the $1,000 cash and I gave the $1,000 cash and all my documents to him to keep in safe custody. That is the first red flag, the first mistake I did in my life.
So demonic.
Yeah, so I always tell, you know, every individual on this planet has the right to keep his passports or his documentations with him. And you'll not believe, Dr. Nancy, from the day one we landed, my wife and myself, we were made to work in a restaurant. And we started working within 1 week or 10 days from 14 hours to 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days, with no single penny as a salary. He made my wife work because my wife was on an H-4 dependent visa where she was not supposed to work, but at that moment, we didn't know anything.
Right.
We didn't know the culture. We didn't know the people. We didn't know how this country operated. I didn't know how this law enforcement agencies operated here. I had absolutely no clue.
Right.
And he fixed my wife's salary, $2,000 a month, stating that, oh, you got to buy a house, you know, you got two kids. So that was like an emotional blackmail.
So did they pay you? You said he paid her $2,000 a month, so he was giving her, what, $500? So
no.
$500 a week, what happened?
No, he fixed, it was just by word. See, this is what the traffickers do. They will, like my wife told my trafficker, you showed us the moon, but gave us dust. So you don't get a single penny.
But, okay, so he promised her $2,000 a month but never paid her?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
See, another thing I want to share with you, Dr. Nancy, and all the audience, how this business operates of human labor trafficking and debt bondage in the United States of America. It's a $150 billion industry after drugs.
Wow.
Number two, the risk factor is very thin and the profit margins are very thick. Number three, out of 10, 9 do not get prosecuted.
Who gets prosecuted?
And number, out of 10, 9 traffickers, they do not get prosecuted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the law, like, they get away. That's why people are into this business.
Oh, wow.
See, another thing I want to share with you, Dr. Nancy and the audience. I came in 2003. There were 6 states in the United States of America where there was no law on human trafficking. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So the governor of Ohio passed a law in 2012 in Ohio that now today it's a felony. So that's the reason
that was
I always
a felony?
Share that. Now it's a felony, like it will be imprisoned for, I think, 7 years to 10 years, and it is pretty harsh.
For what? For trafficking?
Yeah, for trafficking. If you're trafficking in, whether it is human trafficking, for human trafficking, labor trafficking, or sex trafficking.
Oh, labor or sex. Wow.
But this was not there till 2012.
Wow. So that's a new law that started in 2012.
In Ohio. So there were 6 states where there was no law on human trafficking.
Wow. So there's a few states that don't have a law right now, or?
No, everyone has a law. Now everything is in place. But I'm talking, like, see, things are changing. Like today, you're doing this talk show, Dr. Nancy. You're creating education. You're creating empowerment. You know, you're enlightening the community member. You're engaging a survivor. So you're working on prevention, protection of victims of vulnerable population.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell on my show, like, you know, what are the problems? What are the solutions and what are the resources? I always tell, here also, like in the U.S., if you or anyone you suspect is a victim of labor exploitation or sexual mm-hmm. abuse or LGBTQ harassment, please dial 1-888-373-7888. That is the National Human Trafficking Hotline number. So whenever you call this number, even if you're a victim or if you're not a victim, you will not get into any problem. You will not go to prison. They'll rescue you. They will restore you.
Oh, wow.
And they'll get you freedom.
Can you say the number again, please?
Yeah, that's 1-888-373.
So I'm going to thank you so much for sharing that. You know, seriously, Mr. Harrell, we appreciate, I mean, you're giving us a wealth of information. I'm going to bring in, I have regular girl. I'm going to bring her in, see if she has any comments that she wants to share. Hi, regular girl, how are
Hi.
You?
Hi. I'm okay. Hi. Wow. What
have you been listening? Wow.
I have. I've been listening from the very beginning. Hello to you, sir,
thank
and
you so
God
much.
Bless you. This is amazing. What a story, huh? I see, and you tell it so well. I love your laughter. It's just amazing.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that you did not say, but you demonstrated, is it's like you embrace failure. But yet, every time
sure.
you even say
sure.
that about yourself, you laugh. But it's the way that you laugh. It's just this wonderful laughter, full of joy
sure.
and happiness, which you say is so important, but you exude it, and that's an amazing demonstration right here. But your story is amazing. I'm right now at this very minute, I'm finding a way to post it on my social media, and I'm going to stay with it, like you have got to hear this story. It's like a Netflix drama series,
mm-hmm.
but it's the way that you tell it. I remember at one point you said to make a story short. But usually when people say that, they don't do it, but you did it. You made the story short, and it's an amazing, mind-boggling story. I lived for many years in New York City, and I love Indian cuisine. I love it.
Mm.
But now, as you're speaking, I'm just flabbergasted, and yet at the same time, with what I know about the United States government and the shenanigans that they've been pulling in all kinds
mm-hmm.
of other areas, I'm not surprised. I'm embarrassed that I didn't catch on to it sooner, you know? But thank you for the phone number, and I'll let you get back to speaking. But, man, thank you so much for being here and sharing this. And I'm posting it on my social media so other people can hear this. It's amazing.
Thank you very much. You're an inspiration to me. I need your good wishes, prayers, and blessings.
Yes.
You got them. Always.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This thing you said about failure, I wanted to add to that because,
mm-hmm.
you see, that's the reason why a lot of people don't try again, why they don't even start to do things is because they're afraid of failure. We tend to run away from it as human beings. But what you keep saying, your story demonstrates, no, don't run from the failure. That's the reason why people stop, for example, taking flute lessons or guitar lessons or piano lessons, or they stop dancing, learning from a teacher who is a master at what they do. They're afraid they're going to make a mistake. What you're saying is, no, it's the mistake that's the key to everything. So don't be afraid of the failure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say yes. Beautiful, so beautiful. Thank you so much. You've just made my day and probably thousands and millions of others as well.
Yeah, I think it's very truly said the key of success is the failure. Like, if you fail only, you can succeed, but you should not quit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you, regular girl, for coming on and supporting us tonight, supporting Mr. Harrell. I know we have Mr.
Absolutely.
John on the line, and
I'm
know
here.
He's been listening,
And I cannot wait to hear what he has to say. Mr. John, he's one of the hosts on the show as well some nights. Mr. John, is that our regular Mr. John host?
It is. It actually
okay.
is. Yes, I am
so
here.
I can't wait to have him share. So I'm going to just let him go ahead and speak. Yeah.
How you doing, Harold?
Hey, fine. Is it John?
It is John. Yes, it is. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you, John.
Man, I'll tell you what. I'm just enjoying this show till the end. I can't wait to hear, you know, so much more. I just want to tell you that your personality is off the charts, man. You know, this is what makes you. I can actually see why you do what you do and what you're doing, and the progress that you've made, you know, so far, not only in your life, but, you know, from all of the grassroots, like you put, you know, in your bio. I mean, I can see that. And I just want to commend you for that because it doesn't, you know, it's really hard to explain to people, you know, what it does take, you know, for people to make a difference in this world. And a lot of it is about having that right personality. You know, it's that right momentum. Yeah. You know, you got a positive mental attitude is what you have. And this is exactly what we need on the show. This is why we do the show, Harold, is to make sure that you and other organizations also get the opportunity, you know, to broadcast everything that you want to say, plus the phone number. You know, that phone number is always going to be on this show. I do want to say that there's a couple other phone numbers that I just want to throw out there real quick while we're talking about that, is that one is 1-800-4-A-CHILD. Okay, and another one is 1-800-THE-LOST. Okay, so along with the national hotline, you know, some of those numbers that you'll be able to find here on NASCA, you can find it on Eyes Open International. And I just want to thank you for being here tonight, and I hope that you're having a great time with Dr. Nancy and Kim because they're just wonderful people, man. And also, you know, with Regular Girl, she's on our show all the time. Great information, and I tell you, great person. You know, so this is what we have at NASCA. You know, but I just had like one little question, maybe that maybe you could explain to people because I think it's so important, man. You know, when you look into your website on Eyes Open International, okay, it says our mission, just like NASCA has a mission, right? You know, Eyes Open International also has a mission, and the first sentence, okay, is modern slavery is almost invisible, okay? So that's really deep, you know, because I think that needs to be talked about a little bit, you know, before maybe you can tell us more about your story. So, you know, can you explain maybe to the public and to us also what that really means about slavery almost invisible, you know, or let's just get down to human trafficking of all kinds, prostitution, slavery, you know.
I think that's a very good question, John, and very smart of you to catch that modern day slavery is invisible. I just want to share with my audience today and to Dr. Nancy and Kim and John that labor trafficking in the United States of America happens at four places and many others. That is, it happens at restaurants, gas stations, convenience stores, motels, massage parlors, agriculture farming, and various other places. So many times, you might go to a gas station, you know, in the morning to fill gas or pick up coffee. Then again, you come back from work, again, you're going to buy some chips, and you go, you see the same guy, but you don't register. And then again, you go at night, and again, you see the same guy. That is how one person was rescued. And one American lady who was working for an airline company, she heard me speak, and she dialed the hotline number, like which I just shared. That's 1-888-373-7888. And that person was rescued. He was a victim of labor trafficking. So at times it is invisible, because you are just going, or you are going to a restaurant. So when you go to any ethnic restaurant, the waitress or the waiter, they do not get any tips.
Yeah, this is what's probably affecting gas prices.
That's what I wanted to share with you, the actual facts. See, I worked at a restaurant. We didn't get salary. We didn't get a penny. So it is very deep. It is very deep.
Yeah,
so at times you think this would happen in the U.S. You think it happens in different countries. but not in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, yeah, well, thank you so much.
Not to cut you off, I just had to say one thing. If you can move away from the background, I hear a lot of music.
Yeah, somebody got some
background.
A lot background.
Of noise. If you can get away
I can mute. I'll mute it.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you. Oh,
that's good.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Yes,
girl.
Thank you.
That was her. All right. What were you going to say, Mr. John? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rebecca.
Oh, I just want to thank him for being here tonight, and I'll make sure, no matter what, you know, since I'm producing the shows and everything here at NASCA now, that I'm going to put it on every platform that I could possibly mm-hmm. get it to, you know. This show needs to be heard. It needs to keep being
yeah.
heard. And so it's just a great piece of information. I can't wait to hear the rest of it, you know, especially things to do with you being in the administration, you know, on the both the Obama and the Trump, you know, situations. You know, that's very interesting there. I can't wait to hear you tell us more about all this stuff. So I'll just leave it at that. We got plenty of time. So we got about 50 minutes. Yep.
Yeah, so Mr. Harold, I don't know, Ms. Kim, do you have any questions in specific that you'd like to ask or add, any comments before we go into other stuff?
No, but thank you for listening. And, you know, just I guess I'm starting to be more aware because I knew it was out there, and I think that, you know, for me personally as a woman, I try not to do things like go to work in the middle of the night, you know, because I just need stories. You hear that, hear stories, you know, and hear the news and things like that. But it just, I mean, it really pierces your heart when you're talking to somebody who's been through this. So I'm just sorry you've had to go through that. You and your family had to go through that. That breaks my heart. But I am interested to hear more about your story because I know that the ending. Or it's not ended. Actually, it's not ended yet. It has a happy continuum.
mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mr. Harold, if you can
yes.
start to take us through the next part of your story. I mean, this is just the beginning, really, pretty much. I'm sure we're just touching the surface, but what started to happen? Your wife was going to work. She wasn't getting paid. You were, you know, paid this person all of your money, all of your resources, your passport, your everything. What happened? What was that demonic turn? Like, what happened that turned it into hell? Start to take us into that to understand what was the next step for those people listening to learn how to be safe.
Yeah, so I just want to share, like, you know, a couple of examples. Like, when I said debt bondage, right, I came in the year 2003. And from the day one, we were made to work in a restaurant. I came to work as a development manager in a company. And what happens, how does this business operate? They give you accommodation next door or within the premises, the traffickers or the perpetrators. So if you are working when I was working at the restaurant, they provided us with a one-bedroom apartment, which was just not even 10 meters away, just walking distance, like just 2 minutes walk. And there's a reason. So whether it is snowing, there is storm or anything, you cannot say, I cannot come to work. Because you don't need transportation. You're just living there. So there is a plan behind these traffickers to give you accommodation. So you don't need any salary because they provide you lodging and boarding. And that is how this business operates. So we were staying in a one-bedroom apartment. We used to sleep on the carpet. There was no microwave. There was only a refrigerator. We didn't have any appliances. And I just want to share one example is that within like 1 week, I was like, we were coming home at night, 2 o'clock, my wife and myself. And we were so excited to see our boys because we always lived as a joint family in my own country. So when I was opening the door at night, 2 o'clock, you know, with so much excitement that my younger son was sleeping on the floor with his head near the door, and I hit the door so hard on his head, you know, that even today it triggers me. And my older son was sleeping 5 feet away on the floor in his undergarments, and that was the everyday story.
Wow.
So this is how they break you down. And comes the same year in the month of August, he tells me, Harold, you got to take a bank loan. And I said, no, I don't need a bank loan. I just need my salary. But they said, no, you got to build your credit. I didn't know about credit score that time in 2003 because India was all cash.
Who told you to build your credit? Who told you to bring
my trafficker.
Oh.
So my trafficker, and he told me that, we need to take a bank loan. But I said, I don't need a bank loan. I said, I just need my salary. But I had no choice. So one fine day, he takes me to a bank. Even till today, I don't know which bank it was. I was in the bank manager's cabin for only 5 minutes. I might have signed a couple of documents. And within 5 minutes, I get a check in my name, Dr. Nancy, a five-figure check. And then he takes me to his multi-million dollar house. By the way, all traffickers or perpetrators are multi-millionaires. They are rich people.
Oh, wow.
They are psychopaths. You know, they like to suck blood. They get some super excitement. So anyway, he takes me to his house and he says, Harold, you're a rich man. He takes me to his bar room, puts a scotch. It was late afternoon in a short glass. And he says, Harold, cheers. Let's celebrate. You're a rich man. So by the time I just gulp the scotch in my stomach, he gives me a chit from his pocket. And he tells me, Harold, you owe me this money. And it was not $10,000. It was not $20,000. It was not $40,000. It was much more. But Dr. Nancy and friends who are listening, in 1 second, I lost four things. I lost my voice. I lost my courage. I lost my hope. And I lost my freedom. And before I could realize what hit me, he pats me on my back and he tells me, come on, let's go. You owe me much more. And that was not the final dollar amount. And next day, he withdrew all the money from my bank account. But I always tell, in God's home, there is delay, no denial. And when my case went to the FBI, I think in 2007, that same chit which he gave me came to my rescue. They matched the handwriting. See how God saves you.
Amen.
And comes December. I told you in my house, there was no electricity, Dr. Nancy. So if there is no electricity in the house, there is no refrigerator. If there is no refrigerator, you cannot have ice. So for us as a child, to have an ice cube was like having ice cream.
Yes,
so
it was.
Lost no...
Yes, it was.
You're from Costa Rica, so you know it.
I know.
So we saw snow for the first time. And then I said, wow, this is really heaven. Like, God is so kind over here. Like, you see snow everywhere. But we get a note from the school teacher that both my sons cannot come to school. Either do not wear snow jackets. So both my sons had sweaters from India. Sweaters we call it, which is woolen, see-through. But we didn't know what the hell is a snow jacket.
Mm-hmm.
But my chef bought the snow jackets for my two sons. And then next day, we get a note from the school teacher that both my sons cannot come to school if they do not wear snow gloves. Now, they were wearing gloves which we got from India. They were woolen gloves. But today, these are red flags. That's why I create awareness in the schools and colleges where they could have identified the school or the school bus drivers or the delegates at the cafeteria that there is something wrong with these kids or with their family.
Wow.
So these are certain things. So, see, I just want to end on one note, Dr. Nancy. I failed on four P's. I failed as a parent. I failed as a provider. I failed as a protector. And I failed as a person. That's why I tell, that I'm a sinner. Again, I have to tell my audience, I flipped the four P's into passion, purpose, power, and prayers. I always tell all victims, survivors, you're in any situation in life, you can turn obstacles into opportunities. And that is what I did in my life. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. First of all, I just want to say that I'm so sorry that you had to go through all of that, because that was such a demonic attack. And that was such a trickery to get you to get this money and then take it away from you and then tell you that you're old. And this person just owned you and controlled you. And it was just a horrible story that you went through that. I wanted to just check if anybody had any particular comments or any questions before we get into how you got more into your organization. Uh-huh. Yep. What are you going to say?
Hi, this is Kim. Hi, this is Kim. I just wanted to say I'm sorry, too. I can't imagine being in a position like that, and it breaks my heart. Again, it just breaks my heart that happens, and I know it happens so freely, so I'm sorry to let that happen to you.
But I always cannot change the past, but I know that I can change the present and the future. And that is why when I went through all this, today my passion in life is to be the voice for the voiceless victims.
Amen.
Yes, I'd like to say I'm so thrilled. I'm filled with happiness that you've lived to tell. You lived to tell this story. And I just want to ask you to repeat that last section when you began to talk about that the crisis also bring the opportunity, where you mentioned you mentioned a bunch of words with the letter P, prayer, I think, and purple, and passion. Can you say those again, please?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I say that I failed on 4 P's. I failed as a parent, I failed as a provider, as a protector, and as a person. But I flipped those 4 P's.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the flip.
Into passion, purpose, prayers, and power.
Passion, purpose, prayers, and power.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Okay,
I can't wait to hear
the
rest of it.
Every survivor has a power, or every victim has a power.
I do too.
Every victim has a power. I'm glad you said that. I did want to ask a question to you. So where are you today as far as your marriage? Are you still married?
Yeah, we are happily married. In our culture, once you get married, there is no divorce.
There you go. There you go. Hey, for better or for worse, honey. In your cafe, for better or for worse. You stuck in it, baby. That's right.
Welcome to America. Welcome to America.
Hey, so y'all are still together. That's great. Oh, my God. What a test.
We are happily married and we are dating now. We are still dating.
Yes, finally. Yes.
So you did not say purple, but when you said those words, I saw a flash of purple. That's what it was. Like a beautiful amethyst stone, I saw a flash of purple. When you said passion, prayer,
purple.
Power, purpose. Yeah.
Purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, so on May, Dr. Nancy and John and Kim, on May 29, 2022 of this year, I completed 10,227 days. That's 28 years with my wife.
How many days?
10,227 days.
Wow.
I want to share with John, Kim, all my audience, and Dr. Nancy. See, my trafficker or my perpetrator hired a guy to kill me. Okay. So you've seen the movies where people get shot. But when you physically get shot, you forget everything. You don't want anything. You don't want your back wages. You don't want U.S. citizenship, nothing. You just want to survive. It's a different feeling. It's a different emotion. It's a different sentiment when you pass through that phase. When you see somebody coming and shooting you or trying to kill you, you become so weak. Your mind does not work. Your body does not work. You just become a vegetable. But what happened? God flipped my thinking. The fear of death went away from my mind, body, and soul. I just want to share one small example, a real example. My trafficker point blank told me, I'm going to kill you. And I didn't know whether I'm going to die today, tomorrow, in the afternoon or night. It was just a question of time. So one day in the afternoon, I was talking to my wife that I'm not going to live. I'm going to die. And I accepted the death. But can you believe, I always tell, do not be scared what the child speaks, but be scared what the child sees and hears. So my younger son was playing on the carpet facing the wall. And here my wife and myself, we're having a discussion, a very serious discussion. And my son comes and taps me on the back. And I look behind. And he tells me, Dadu, if you die, what happens to me? Who will take care of my schooling? It was God talking to me. And there are so many episodes in my life that I realized that I got to fight. I got to live. If I die, my wife dies. If I die, my son Bradley dies. If I die, my younger son Rowan dies. So that has given me a lot of courage that, you know, I got to fight come what may. I left no stones unturned. And I flipped.
Wow.
Today I tell, whether it is President Barack Obama, Trump, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, you take Biden, you take Harold D'Souza. God gives visa for only 36,000 days on this planet. 36,000 days is 100 years. 100 years I'm not going to live. And that is the reason my mind thinking has flipped. What am I running behind? Money? Wealth? No. What can I give back to the community? I do not have Dr. Nancy today or John and Kim 10,000 days left for me to live. 10,000 days is 27 years and 4 months. I'm not going to live that long. So why live in tension? Why live in like dissatisfaction? Like Mother Teresa always said, do not waste time judging people. Just love them. And that's how I always tell, do not judge survivors. Do not judge victims. Do not judge them. Just love them. What does people ask me, Harold, what can we do when I do any presentation? Always tell, whenever you look at a victim or a survivor, just look, listen, learn, live, love, and laugh with them. It's so simple. It does not cost you anything. And again, survivors do not need sympathy. They need empathy.
Yes. Yes.
And many times, always tell, suicide or silence is not a choice, option, or solution. Whenever a survivor or victim commits suicide, it's not a suicide. It's a murder. Because we got to accept them. We got to respect them. We got to admire them and give them courage to bounce back in life. It's not a stigma. Because people go through a lot of stigma in life. Anyway, thank you.
Right. And people need respect as well. I think definitely we're all different and we need to be respected. You know, as this, everybody goes through something. I think it takes great courage to share your testimony. And we're just so honored to have you with us tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did want to ask Harold something real quick, if I could.
Yes.
Harold, you know, you're talking about your family and all, and it really, I can hear the pride in your voice when you mention them, you know, and I'm just curious, maybe you can shed some light on this, because I think it's important that we talk about this on the show, because it's a big part of people's lives, is the support that your family gives you. Can you tell us a little bit about that, maybe, and explain how that is for you?
Yes, I tell you one thing very honestly. Like, you know, I was, as I said earlier to Dr. Nancy, that I was born and raised as a Roman Catholic. Religion does not matter, whatever religion you're following. But a family that prays together, stays together. A family that eats together, stays together. A family that struggles together, stays together. A family that travels together, you know, stays together. A family that cries together, stays together. So we became so close to each other during our rough and tough times, John, that we supported each other. Any other wife would have left and gone. My wife stood like a rock. My two sons stood like a rock with me. We didn't have food to eat. You'll not believe. We didn't have 25 cents. We needed to go to Kroger on the vending machine. My son wanted candies. We didn't have 25 cents. But my son is to flip all the candy machines. But can you believe, by God's grace, somebody might have put something and my son will find one chocolate, one candy. we didn't have food to eat. So my father used to tell me as a child, one person's meal, four people can eat. But four people's meal, one person cannot eat. And we ate one person's meal, four people ate. For not days, but for months.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, see, one is hunger. And one is starvation. I've seen starvation. When there's hunger, you have a choice. When you don't have any food to eat, you are ready to eat from the trash.
Right.
I can still see it, I can still feel it, and I can still sense it. Today, the best moment in my life today, John, you'll not believe that when I see both my sons eat, even today, even if they're anywhere out, I just look at them, I get emotional, I don't share it with them, but it gives me a lot of joy. Because
I can understand that, Harold, I really can. And that's very important.
That's so important to share
that with us, man. I tell you, you know, that just goes to show you who you are. You know, that's beautiful. It absolutely is.
No, thank you.
So, does anybody else have any other questions? I wanted to ask him more about his organization. What's happening moving forward from this? What has come out of this? But does anybody else have any other questions they want to ask over on?
I see we have a new caller.
Sheila. Yeah.
No. Great. Thank you.
Sheila. So, Sheila, is that you there?
Hey, y'all. I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late joining. I try to come when I can to show support. But I caught... I guess about 8 minutes of when Harold was speaking. And I just want to say I appreciate what you're doing and being an example for us other survivors. And I hate I missed the first part of the show, but I was on a very important phone call. So, but Harold, thank you.
No, thank you, Sheila, for joining.
I will have to go back and recap. I always try to go back and listen to the shows again, so I will be sure to listen to it, to listen to your full story.
Thank you for joining us tonight. It was a very powerful testimony. So please do get a chance to tune back in. So, thank you so much again for joining us, Ms. Sheila.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, Mr. Harold, I just want to get back to you for a minute. We're getting closer to the end of the show almost. We have about 20-30 minutes about that. But just wanted you to kind of take us through from this pain grew purpose. Purpose was born from this pain. You have been pretty much dedicating your life to helping others not fall into this same trap that you fell into. And you took us through your story of what you went through, the abuse, the how you were pretty much set up and tricked, and the pain that you had to endure with your family. It was a lot. It wasn't just you. It was your children suffered from this as well. But can you talk to us a little bit about what you're doing today to turn your pain into purpose? What are you doing today to turn this around and to come out winning and to help others?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just want to share one episode, why my thinking has changed is that during my trafficking situation, my son was slapped, full-fledged slapped on his cheek in front of my own eyes. And for what? He didn't do any mistake. Even when a child makes a mistake, you don't slap him. You try to discipline. When my son didn't make any mistake, but my trafficker was trying to teach me a lesson, so that I should do whatever he says, irrespective of whether I like it or I don't like it. But that is why I always say that I'm a sinner. Because my son cried for 180 seconds, maybe for 3 minutes, but he had the 5 fingers on his cheeks. But I, as a dad, didn't do anything. I just watched. But today it is my passion in life, purpose in life, that I do not want any child to be abused. I do not want any girl or anybody's wife to be sexually abused. I do not want any man to be abused for no rhyme or reason, even if it is not his mistake. And today what John, Dr. Nancy and Kim are doing on this talk show, and the people who are listening, that today you might have saved some people's life or transformed many people's life who's listening this show, that there are resources. The hotline number which I said, that's 1-888-373-7888. And that we got to rise, we got to fight. We should not surrender. We should not quit. We should not quit. We have to stand up. And that is what gave me the courage. And why I have become an advocate today. Today my passion in life is to be the voice, courage, hope and freedom for all the victims. I saw two victims die here in my trafficking situation. And what did I do? I couldn't do anything. It is a very sad situation, Dr. Nancy and John and Kim, that I, being a father, I, being a husband, that when you see your son being slapped and you are can't do anything, it's a very hopeless situation. I just don't know how to explain that. Same way, you know, when you see somebody die, I saw one of the victims who died here in the U.S. He was a foreign national. I just couldn't do anything, and that person was crying on the phone, the other buddy, and I was just listening. And that shook me, and it was God's call. Come on, Harold, you got to do something. You got to stand up. You got to rise. So today, it's not that I got rescued. Yeah, that's fine, but when I see a smile on any victim's face, that is priceless. I do two things in life today, Dr. Nancy and John and Kim. You know, I always tell that I'm a postman. And then number two, I don't take a single penny from any of the victims or survivors. So people tell me, Harold, what do you mean by postman? I was at the White House. I work at the governor's office, at the Mike Devine. I work at the Attorney General's office here in Ohio. So I know all the law enforcement agencies, the NGOs, the healthcare industries, and I have contacts. So if any victim comes to me, I just get them connected. And then if I'm convinced, and they rescue them. So I'm just a postman. I'm not doing it myself. You know, I'm not doing it. But since I know them, that there are resources available in labor trafficking, which I have to talk on your show, that people are not aware that if you are a victim of labor trafficking, if you have come through the Mexico border and having no passport, no documentation, and you are a victim of human labor trafficking or debt bondage, you are entitled for a CP, that's called continued presence status, and then a U visa or a T visa, and then permanent residency card, which is eventually freedom. So many people are not aware of the resources. Like, see, I came by flight. I just want to talk on a show that many victims of foreign nationals come through the border of Mexico. It takes them 60 days to 90 days. And out of 10, 9 die. They run out of food. So when they run out of food, they eat grass and leaves. And when they run out of water, they drink their own urine. I have worked with so many of these victims who have come through the border. And so many people say that they saw their dead bodies there. And that is the reason why I'm trying to like create awareness, like in my own country, like India, and telling people, please do not come to the United States of America illegally. If you come illegally, it is hell. If you come legally, it is heaven. So do not pay the agents and come. It's not worth it. And in case you are coming also, you should have the resources available. Americans are good people, but the traffickers will always manipulate you, that Americans do not like brown-skinned people. That was wrong.
It's good that you have that perspective. You're right, Ms. Kim, and it's good that you have that information. I think a lot of times, like, one of the main things that you shared is that these traffickers, they're very manipulative. They know that you're scared because you came illegally, so they use that to their advantage. And that's what makes you a victim, just like what Mr. Harold shared with us. When you come legally, it's heaven. And when you come illegally, it's hell, right? So So it's really important to be careful how you come, because they will not guide you in the right way. They will bring you illegally so that they have the upper hand and they have the control, and they're able to now abuse you and manipulate you. And they're not looking out for you. I mean, just the fact that when this man took your money, what happened? I mean, he took your money, he took your card, he took your passport, he took everything from you. How did you get that back?
Yeah, once when my case was with the FBI, then see, once you lock the doors of the law enforcement agencies, it's very easy. You just need to take that step. Now, that's number one. Number two, I want to share with all the audience or listeners today that in the United States of America, traffickers use four words for foreign national victims of labor trafficking. Number one, I'll get you arrested. Number two, I'll get you handcuffed. Number three, I'll get you jailed. And number four, I'll get you deported. And that's very common in the entire, you talk to any immigrant.
What are the words again that they use? Number one was what?
Yeah, you talk to a Mexican, you talk to anybody. The traffickers or the perpetrators in labor trafficking use four words. Number one, I'll get you arrested. Number two, I'll get you handcuffed. And when they say handcuffed, they do by action with putting the hands behind.
Yeah.
Number three, I'll get you jailed. And number four, I'll get you deported.
It's true.
And that is one. And number two, in sex trafficking, every girl has a nickname. I don't want to say that, but in labor trafficking, in human labor trafficking in the U.S., there's only one nickname. That's called illegal. They'll not tell me, Harold, come here. You know, they'll say illegal. They'll snap their finger like that. They'll say illegal, come here. You know what happens that time? When they call you illegal, you think in your mind, body, and soul that you're a criminal. And that is what happened to me.
Mental abuse.
Every time, not once, million times, they'll say illegal, come here. They'll not call you by name. And that will be the authority. Flip your finger, come here. Like that. And then when my case went to the FBI, they told me I have to go for counseling. And I was so mad because it's a new concept. But anyway, I went for counseling. After 6 months, my counselor, she was a young American lady, After 6 months, she told me, Harold, I've been listening to you always say that you're illegal. You know, like, then she used one word. In 1 second, my life changed. She said, Harold, you're not illegal. You're undocumented. See how things changed my life.
Wow.
So I always recommend that counseling is a must for everybody in the case of human trafficking. And after 1 year, she told me, Harold, I used to feel so guilty. I said, I'm a sinner. I made a mistake. I said, what idiot I was. She said, Harold, you made a mistake. Accept it. The day I accepted my mistake, I changed.
Wow. Amen.
And there was a time in my life, Dr. Nancy, John, and Kim, that I could not predict my future. That's why I tell all the people who are victims of human trafficking, you might be having ill health. You going through unemployment, any problem in life, if you can't predict your future, I said you can create your own future. I created my own future.
Can I ask you, how are your kids doing today? How are your kids doing today? With all of this, what you went through, they saw you go through it, they saw your strength. And, you know, sometimes when people go through this stuff, they come out of it. They have a big time appreciation, and then some people, they still have some repercussions. And like you said, there's nothing wrong with getting counseling and getting support and getting therapy through your recovery, because this is very traumatic. This emotional abuse, physical abuse, psychological abuse. Some people go through sexual abuse. I mean, the list is so long. How are your kids doing coming out of this?
Yeah, I always tell age is just a number. Aim high. Achieve higher. And aspire happiness. Today, my older son, he is in New Zealand. He's working for Tesla for the last 8 years. He's based in California. And my same son, Bradley D'Souza, you can Google. If you type his name, Bradly, no E, Bradley D'Souza. You know, he drove the Tesla car from L.A. to New York. And created awareness on human trafficking. He broke the world record. He with his friend drove the car in 51 hours and 47 minutes. And Elon Musk retweeted. And he was appointed as a national scholar, as a global scholar. He was invited to President Barack Obama's inaugural function. He was invited to Sweden for the Nobel Peace Award ceremony. He was one among the 25 kids in the nation, in the world, sorry, to be invited.
You're a proud papa.
No, no. And my younger son is doing very good. He graduated 1 year early from college from University of Cincinnati. So the same child, like, actually, like, you know, who my trafficker abused. One day you might see him picking up the Wimbledon Cup. He's a pro in tennis.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad they're doing well. Hey, we have a caller on that has a question, a new caller. Her name is Olga. Is it okay if we bring her on so she can ask the question?
Yes.
Okay. Are you there, Olga?
Yes, I'm so excited. Hi, Harold. I hope you're doing well. I'm listening to the radio, and this segment is just amazing. I love everything that you have to say in terms of the human sex trafficking awareness. And it's such a privilege because we had Harold at one of our events, and he travels everywhere creating awareness. And I think that, you know, that's such a courageous thing to do. And in terms of the question, I know that people – forget the little things, right? You know, he just went through something and, you know, amazing now, sharing his story, helping people worldwide. But what about the small little things like time, having ice cream for the first time? You know, what are those things like? What was it like to experience that after freedom? After, you know, you're finally like, oh my goodness, went through everything. Let me take my kids for ice cream. You know, let me take them to watch a movie. You know, after everything that happened, what was that like? Share with us a little bit.
Oh, that,
wow,
that was very nice of you, Hulda. Yeah, so we used to sleep on the floor all the time. And then I bought a condo on September 18th, 2011. And there were some 10 American families who helped me during my rough times. So I'd invited them for dinner to my house. And we had no furniture in the house. And they came to our bedroom and there was a mattress down. Because we used to sleep on the floor. Because we didn't have money and all. So one of the American ladies asked my wife, so in your culture, Indian culture, you all sleep on the floor? So my wife said, no. But we didn't do anything. So they came, they prayed, the nice family, and then they went. And then next day at 4 o'clock, we see two of the family members, husband, wife. They came in a truck, and one of the person, he was a police chief. Can you imagine? I was so shocked. They came with a bed, with a queen-size bed.
Wow.
And a bunk bed for my kids.
Wow.
And they installed it in 30 minutes. And that day, we four slept on the queen bed like babies. All four of us slept on the queen bed. And it was, it was September 25th, 2011. I know the date. September 25th, 2011.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's definitely, thank you for sharing so much with us and opening up your story and your family story. I'm glad to hear your sons are doing great. How's your wife doing?
Yeah, she's still with me. She's doing good. Hulda is better. She's working for General Electric Credit Union. So she has got a good job. She works in that bank.
That's after 10,700 days, right, Harold?
Yeah, 10,227 days.
Okay. You know what? That's almost like 29 years, if I do my math right. Something like that.
28 years.
28. There you go.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, good job. Look at you. Wow. So did this make your marriage stronger? Do you feel like it brought you guys closer, even though you guys met through, like you said, you know, it was an arranged marriage? You know, sometimes people go through arranged marriages as a mismatch, but do you feel like the commitment, her commitment, made it a strong marriage? I mean, you know, going through all that, how did that make your marriage stronger? What's your words for that, for other marriages?
I think we are like, we are very thick friends. Like, it is, our marriage has become much stronger, bigger, and better. Like, including my two sons. It's not only about my wife, you know. It's including my two boys. So I'll tell you one more thing, Dr. Nancy and John. Financially, my wife and myself, we both are retired. Because I told you, my trafficker had told me that he's going to kill me. And I thought if I'm dead, my sons will be on the streets. So many, it is more than 10 years that both my sons are managing the finance. So wherever I travel, wherever I go, even today, my son lives in California. Right now he's in New Zealand. He's coming back this week from the company work. But all the finances, like even today, my wife's salary is managed by my two sons. So I always believe that financial freedom and financial aptitude to teach the kids is very important. So as a family, we are like a company, you know, we are like a company. I always believed one thing, Dr. Nancy and John and Kim, that when you are in the school, the principal is the head of the school. When you're working for a company, it is the president or CEO. But in the house, it is the father who is the head of the family. I flipped the script. I made my two sons the head of the family.
Right.
So they run the show. And I trust them. They might have made little mistakes here and there. That's fine. So who does not make mistakes? I always tell, making a mistake is not a mistake. Making no mistake is a mistake.
Right.
Repeating a mistake is a big mistake.
I love that.
But learning from your mistakes, like what I did, and empowering the community members to live a life with the freedom is not a mistake. Thank you.
Wow.
No.
Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow.
No, I just want to thank everybody for being here tonight. This has been a great show. We still have some more to talk about. I can't wait to even, you know, hear a little bit more about some of what Harold's got going, because I know that you're also going to be having a film coming up or two. So tell us some about that before you go. We got about a little bit over 5 or 6 minutes left. And I do know that we have another caller that's called in too, area code 978. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if y'all want to bring them in, I just want to thank you, Harold, for being here, and bless you, my man. Okay, I'll be here anytime. Okay.
Thank you, John. Okay. Yeah. So there are two films coming up. One is Martin Sheen, which you know, the Hollywood actor. So he's doing a documentary. The teaser trailer is out. And the name of the teaser trailer is To Be Free.
Wow.
And Benjamin Ryan Nathan, he's the producer and director. So many years back, Benjamin Ryan Nathan had come to shoot my son, Bradley D'Souza, and he didn't know anything about human trafficking. And my son was the youngest board of directors for Prevent Blindness. At the age of 19, Bradley D'Souza. And that is how, when he came to shoot for him to Cincinnati from New York, he came to know about our story about human trafficking. He was so touched that inspired him to do this documentary. That's one. And number two is that in Bombay, the Bollywood blockbuster silver screen movie is doing a mega high-budgeted film on me, on a biopic on me from India to the White House. So I have signed the life right agreement. And I think that movie should be out next year, 2023.
Wow.
So the script writing is going on right now in full fledged.
Awesome.
And I'm not going to act in that film. Somebody, a professional actor, will be acting on my behalf.
I would do the same thing. I'd let somebody else play me. Good job. Good job. So we do have another caller. They're calling from the 978 number. Can you come in? Do you have any questions?
Yes, actually more of comments. This is still Ulda. I apologize. I called from my other phone. But I wanted to say thank you so much, Harold, and thank you so much for having this segment. I really do look up to you and everything that you do. You are my inspiration 100% with the movement of human and sex trafficking. And it's such an honor to have met you in person and see what you do. And I always follow what you do. So I thank you for having the courage to always speak about it. And you're awesome. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Ulda.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for coming on and being supportive. Yeah, it's always needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, coming out and sharing your truth is not always easy. It doesn't always start as being easy, but knowing that you have people who appreciate it and support you, it gives you more strength to keep going forward. So thank you, everyone that's been on tonight supporting Mr. Harold. Harold, you have a great support. People love you. They love what you're doing. They love what you represent, the courage that you've been able to find out of your pain, the strength. And we appreciate you sharing your story. It's wonderful.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nancy, John, and Kim, for inviting me on this, your prominent radio talk show.
Yes. You know, we do this.
Can you tell us how to get a hold of this? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say we do these shows a few times during the week. I just wanted to mention the number again. The number to call, you know, when we have our shows here on NASCA is 646-595-2118. Again, the number is 646-595-2118. Miss Kim, what were you about to say? I'm sorry. I wanted to get that number out.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was just going to say that I've been looking you up, so I've friended you on Facebook, and your Eyes Open International
right
page, and maybe that's your family on that page. I don't know. Is that
right?
Is that who it is?
That's my family.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Beautiful family. Yes. Just thank you tonight and all that you do. Because you're pretty amazing for all that you've been through and what you've accomplished. So I'm just honored to be on here with you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, Harold, we really can't wait to see what else you're going to do. You know, you've been through so much, but you've come so far. Okay, so I really can't wait. You know, to see how these films work out for you. I can't wait to see, you know, how Eyes Open International is you know, going to take off. And if there's ever anything that NASCA can do for you, you know how to get in touch with me. You know, anytime that you want to come back on the show, you're more than welcome. You know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we always have open mic nights. And let me tell you, you know, a lot of times we talk about human trafficking of all kinds. But I do want to, you know, let everybody know out there that, you know, there's trafficking of labor and sex, right? And then there's both, you know, and it's in every single state, and it's in every kind of gender, you know. So awareness is everything, and this is what Harold does so beautifully. I mean, so I'll make sure that everybody gets this show on national media tomorrow, and that it's been a great show, and I just want to thank you for coming on, okay? And thank everybody else for calling into the show tonight, by the way. Been really nice panel.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Is there any words? We're about to close off the show. Is there any words you want to leave us with before we close off the show? Anything else? What would you like for us to remember?
Nothing. I always tell, you know, don't worry. Be happy. You know, survivors are poor starters, but strong finishers in life. So just as I told earlier also, be happy, think positive, never quit, and believe in yourself. Thank you once again, Dr. Nancy, Kim, and John, for inviting me on your very prominent radio talk show and for creating awareness on human labor trafficking and debt bondage. God bless America.
Thank you so much.
And everyone, please remember, you can join us on NASCA.org. And remember, when you see something, say something, and we will see you again soon. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless everyone.
Thank you.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was-